your weekend breakfast
with Refilwe Mbakanyane on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
We are walking that talk this morning with Jessica Nkosi, actress, TV presenter, best known for her leading roles in telenovelas such as Isibaya, most recently The Queen, and Ayeye as well. But Jessica has got a brand new project that is coming out. It's going to be hitting your small screens. It's called Lavish, a new fictional drama set in Kailami on Mzansi Magic. That's the platform in which it's going to be showing. Showing the lives of three wealthy women in their 30s, navigating death, divorce, disaster, life, basically, life. Jessica Nkosi, welcome to Weekend Breakfast. I hope you're well.
Yes, I'm well. Thank you so much for having me.
You're looking absolutely fantastic, clear-skinned and glowing. My jealousy is peaking right now.
I have to try. I have to look good for you.
It's Sunday. Absolutely. It is Sunday. And I appreciate you once again coming in because, you know, you could be resting. You're mentioning before we started, before we came on air, the fact that you are on set at 4:30 on weekdays. Yeah. So, you know, Sundays and weekends are for resting.
Yes, we shoot on Saturdays as well.
Yeah.
So Sundays are like my resting days.
Yes. Yeah. Really appreciate you being here. Yes. Jessica, let's talk Lavish. Before we go into how you got started in this industry, before we talk family, before we talk motherhood, before we talk fashion as well, let's talk about Lavish and this new production and, of course, your own role within Lavish.
Yeah.
What interested you or piqued your interest when it came to this particular script?
It was a different story that I hadn't witnessed in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, truth is the story is what attracted me to the whole production.
Yeah.
So everything else, as soon as I read the script, I was like, okay, if I do not get to tell the story, I'm going to be mad. So I better get this part because I want to be able to tell the story and for the viewers to see me telling the story.
Yeah.
And I was really interested. It was, it is rather set on three women who are very successful and they do something horrid and they are just like, okay, we're not losing our lives and lavish lives mm-hmm. because of this. So let's make it work. I mean, one of the girls was just elected mayor. You know, my character just got a huge tender. She's like, I'm not losing this because of this one little thing that we did. So let's just make it work. And it's just them now scruffling and trying to figure out their lives while hiding this big thing that they did. They killed someone.
Mm-hmm.
So now they have to hide this death and pretend as if everything is hunky-dory when behind closed doors they are a mess.
That they're dealing with deep, dark secrets.
Yeah.
Your character, Zorzi.
Yes.
Described as an Instamom, rich wife, fabulous fashionista, juggling fame with family.
Yeah.
It's so interesting because, you know, you obviously, the Lavish is grappling with themes that are, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. These are things that we've always known happen. But it's particularly striking because in this day and age of social media, of Instagram, of, you know, whatever, this life that you can sort of pick and curate and show what you want people to see and choose what you want people to see.
Yeah.
There is also, we also all are intimately acquainted with the fact that we're all making very curatorial decisions about, you know, the facade we put up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're not always sharing about the pain, the darkness, the difficulty, the dodgy stuff that we do behind doors.
Yeah.
no one wants to say that, but
people
do dodgy stuff.
Yeah.
And I can relate to that.
According to Instagram, some people are just happy 24/7, you know, always. And you just choose not to show. It's not that you don't have difficult days. You just choose not to show that. And it's so refreshing sometimes when you find someone who just go on Instagram and just cry or wail or go on there without makeup and say, this is my skin or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's so refreshing because all the time you just see perfection. And you think, yo, hey, it must be nice, Lana. I want to no sense of anything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, with regards to Lavish, it really just tackles that. Wootsie on face
value.
Yonke Doji is just hunky dory. Everything is amazing. Oh my gosh, I'm living the best life in the whole wide world. Yet, as soon as you log off of that live, you are in tears. tears, which happens all the time, even to me.
Yeah, even to you, right? Yeah. Very interesting stuff. So what are you hoping to see with Zozi's sort of trajectory and the story? Because, you know, things could get darker. There could be perhaps you are hoping for a sort of redemptive moment for Zozi, or are you just, you know, are you just going to see what the writers come up for you, come up for with you?
Well, I mean, as actors, we just do what's written on the paper.
So, oh, you poor things.
We have absolutely no say whatsoever in anything. You get there and they're like, this is what you're going to say. I mean, the only thing you just discuss with your director, how you take it. Should I cry? Should I not cry? Is she emotional? She's sad. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, they're tackling big issues in the series, but it's also quite comedic, which is refreshing. Mm-hmm. So yes, there is a lot of, you know, dark moments, but in those dark moments, you find a laugh in between.
Yes.
So it's kind of a story told in a very light fashion, which was refreshing. So we didn't have to go to like a horribly dark, dark, dark place. I mean, the way they hide the body and they struggle, they will come back from like the most glamorous event and they have to go and find the body and try to hide it. And they're wearing heels and they're looking stunning. They dress to the nines and now they have to go and do this dirty work.
Yeah.
So that is also hilarious. And it's like, okay, then why didn't you just wear sneakers and whatever? It's like, no, they can't dare be seen in sneakers. They
comedic value, darling.
Yes. They have to be fabulous in everything they do. Mm-hmm. So we do all of that and laughing and going, this is just ridiculous. I mean, long nails, hair all the way to our ankles, but we're doing the most gruesome stuff. So telling it in that way, we didn't really go to like a hectically dark place because it is like a dramatic comedy of sorts. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, like South African life, right? Going through the most, but
we laugh about everything. Yeah, I remember when COVID started, people made a joke about it.
Yeah.
We will always laugh at everything.
When we got news of when we got news of the U.S. embassy releasing an alert to its citizens saying there might be something going down in the Greater Sandton area, do you know, keep away from large gatherings. As soon as that announcement came out, South Africans were making jokes on social media.
I went onto social media just to laugh at that. So I was like, you know what? Our country, like, we might get bombed, but they just like, this is me dancing in between the bombs. I'm like, guys, you'll be dead. You're not going to be dancing while the bomb is going off.
Yeah. We will find any excuse to tell a joke.
Yeah.
So Jessica, talk to me about this particular cast that you're working with. You're there, of course. Ayanda Bandla, yes, Kani, Nogwil, Stu, Mom Jali. Nakedi Rabani, just can you explain how working with a small group of people, very specific group of people, for a short amount of time, even for a sustained period, what that does to your not even social life, but how it affects everybody within that group, right? Does it feel like a family yet? It must already.
Well, yeah. I mean, most of us, we were meeting each other for the first time.
Yeah.
Here, I really didn't know many people. The only person I knew was Ustuma, who I'd shot Aspire with.
Yes.
Everybody else, it was the first time. Fortunately, I mean, whenever I get into a new work environment, I literally pray about it. I'm like, Lord, please make sure everyone who is there is, you know, good, is welcoming, is kind, is hardworking. Let there not be any weird vibes.
Sure.
Let us just be able to work. Because if there are weird vibes, trust me, it'll show on screen. Mm-hmm. No matter how much you try conceal it, it will show. So fortunately, you got there. The ladies were amazing. We gelled. We literally looked like we've been best friends forever, the three of us, which really worked out well. The cast was a dream to work with. You know, everyone was hardworking. Everyone got to work. I really appreciate actors that get to work and they know their lines.
Sure.
You know, like, if you didn't read your lines the day before, we're going to have a problem. I need you to be prepared. Like, why are you here then? You know? So it was nice to be with people that you can see they've read the story, they've read their lines, they know what they're doing, they've prepared. I'm like, okay, I love prepared actors. Like, if you're not prepared, we're not going
to
get along.
What does that do to a production, first of all, if one isn't prepared and doesn't know their lines? And I ask this as a person who has the memory of a goldfish. I could not cram lines if you asked me to. So I did a little stint once where my agent convinced me to audition for a film, which I did, and I got the role. It was a tiny, tiny role.
Yeah.
But I had my sides on me under the desk so that up to like the final moment when the director said,
action,
I quickly looked out. And then literally this is two lines. It was just two lines. Still couldn't remember them after 2 weeks of having them. So I had my sides on set. Luckily, I was able to do those two lines. No problem. But what does it do to a production when an actor shows up and doesn't know their lines?
First of all, it shows. As much as you may try and conceal it, it'll show that you have not read it. And that's the first time you're reading that. Because when they say action, you are blank. You don't even know the first word. And that obviously takes up time. Now we have to wait for you to be able to remember your lines.
As in what? I'm standing on set and I'm quickly scanning it?
They're like, okay, just one rehearsal before we shoot. Okay, quickly, let's go. And, you know, some people will not read their scripts because they know the lines.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll find a person going, wait, let me just... And they're reading there... And then they try. By the time they say action, they're just like, you know what? I don't know this. Please, can we just cut so I can just rehearse it properly? And it does take up time because now we have to finish a certain amount of scenes in a day. And because you weren't prepared, we had to wait like, 15, 30 minutes for you to be able to get your lines. And sometimes you find a person who nearly passes out when they get to set and they realize they have a monologue to do. And they're like, well, could I just have 10 minutes? And like, you had 10 minutes yesterday at home when you were preparing.
So the knock-on effect in terms of the whole cast and crew being able to leave on time.
We have to wait for you.
Go home.
Yeah. You know. Oh, we will. Oh, I will leave on time. If I'm wrapping at 6:30, I'm gone. But then a scene will have to be dropped then.
Yes.
Which is then money. Because maybe a car was hired for that scene and we can't shoot it. Now they have to hire it again for the next day.
You know? Big implications.
Yes. Or there were extras that were paid. Maybe there were 10 extras that had to be in that scene. Now they have to be paid again the next day because we're dropping the scenes. So it costs the production a lot of money. When actors get to work unprepared.
So the glamour is occasional.
Yeah.
But the work is intense.
Yeah.
You get to work at 4:30, you're in makeup and wardrobe for 2 hours. And getting into character, getting in the zone, looks like what for you? Or has it already happened because you prepped?
As soon as you sit on the makeup chair, already the process of getting out of Jessica Nkosi, you know, starts. Because it's way more makeup that I would naturally wear on my own, especially for this character.
Yes.
As soon as you put on the hair, the process has started. You put on the outfits. You're already, you know, halfway there. You're rehearsing. You're reading your lines the whole day. By the time you get onto set, you're already in that moment of, I'm no longer myself. Mm-hmm. I'm now Zozi and you are in it. You prepared for your day.
Yeah. You mentioned something about your actors. You only do what's been written for you. Have you been in any situations or in any productions over the course of your career where an actor or the actors are able to sort of influence what happens in the writer's room? And perhaps we are one of those actors that actually likes to leave everything in the hands of the writers and just do what's on the page. Which type of actor are you?
I do what's on the page. I trust writers. I've been very fortunate as well to work in productions that really invest in good writers. Therefore, you know, there's no need for you to ever go, I don't want to do this.
I'd be interested to see the character grow in a certain way and make those kinds of
absolutely.
Suggestions.
Yeah. I mean, before Obabshona passed away,
Shona Ferguson.
Yes. He came to me and he was like, okay, so for next season, for your character Tando, this is what we were thinking. What do you think? We think that she is going, we're going to find out that she's bi and she's going to fall in love with the girl. Mm-hmm. And what do you think about that? And I was like, you better write that now because that's exactly what I want. So sometimes you'll get producers that will ask you, what do you think? How do you think about us taking this direction? Would you be comfortable with doing ABC? Is this okay? And in that way, by the time you get to sets, you know what's coming, you know what's going to happen, you know the storyline because they roped you in on it.
You've got a general sense of the journey that your character
the direction will take. She's taking. So it was always refreshing on the queen that you knew what's going to happen because they came to you before, because they'll come to you and say, okay, so your next arc, this is what you think, this is what we're thinking, what do you think? And I'm like, no, I think she should kill a few more people. Okay, great. You're like, yeah, I think she should. Okay, great, let's go. All right. So usually I think producers do work hand in hand with their actors, because you know it doesn't help being a dictator.
Yeah.
Then your actors will hate you. But usually the writers are really great, the producers are amazing. I've been fortunate to work in really great productions.
You mentioned Shauna Ferguson, obviously partner and late husband to Connie Ferguson, and they've done amazing things in the South African film, in the South African television industry, as a couple, as a production company. Talk to me about perhaps your relationship with them, and, you know, the role that they've played within your career and perhaps you growing your acting chops as well. And you can extend that to other mentors as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I mean, watching how they deal with their actors was the first biggest thing that I noticed. Because in South Africa, actors are not really treated amazingly. Like, we really don't have like our private rooms. Mm-hmm. We don't get to sit and there's water on sets. You know, I remember getting to the Queen and I realized that they overfeed their actors. I mean, in some production you go hungry because the food is so horrible. But I got there and there would be breakfast and then a snack and then another snack and then lunch and a snack. I'm like, okay, are you guys on purpose trying to make us gain weight? Also, this food is amazing. I remember I Instagrammed it and I was like, I literally will only eat once a week on the Queen because the food is great and they feed us often and I can't take this. I know I'm complaining about delicious food, but yeah, I am complaining.
Yeah.
But it's so refreshing to get to a production company where they actually value that and it is of importance. I'd get to set and I had my own private room with my name on the door with a couch bed so that in between, if I'm not shooting the scene, I can at least take a nap or I can rehearse. There was a mirror there. My wardrobe is all set out for me. By the time I arrive, there's on the side table that I have in my room, there is water and my breakfast waiting for me as soon as I arrive. So you can see that they literally say to their ADs, this is what you do for our actors as soon as they get to work. That made me want to work so much harder for them and be brilliant at my character because of how well they treated their actors. And I was just like, you could tell that the owners of this production are actors as well, and they know how we treat it. And they said, we are going to do something different. Mm-hmm. And I said, God, I'm going to own a production company and I'm going to do this an even better. You know, because you always have to try and do better. Like they really set such a high standard. Even now at our rap party, I went and I thanked Umai and I was just like, thank you for prioritizing your actors. Thank you for helping us remember, we are also important. And she was like, yeah, do you realize in this production, the most important people are the actors. If you won't know about Nagi most, which is what happens, they're the least paid attention to people in a production, which is weird because they are the production. So it's like when you treat actors well, they will do more than they're supposed to for you. I mean, I would sleep late running my lines. I would get to work. I know my lines well. I would run in the sun and do take after take after take. I wouldn't care because I'm treated so well. I mean, there was someone always here irritating me, asking if I wanted water. And I'm like, of course I want water. You know, they just really prioritize their actors and it was so refreshing. That is the biggest thing I learned from them, because that is why the quality of their actors was always on point. Because you can see, laba bantu baphathwe
kahle. So I'm hearing you say that you actually can't put a price on goodwill.
Yeah.
Once you've generated that with people that you work with whether they're subordinates, whether they're, you know, just colleagues, when you've generated goodwill, you get so much out of people, out of any relationship.
Any relationship, And that's exactly what they did. Like, I would always go far and beyond. I mean, my character even won an award. And I was like, yes! You know, that's because I'm treated well. I am, you know, it is lovely in this production. I really have no complaints about production at all. I swear you overlook so much because we're petting us. You overlook so much. They're like, oh, next season you won't get an increase in your pay. You're like, it doesn't matter. You know, it's fine. You're only getting a 2% increase. It's fine. You know, yeah. I won't fight you because we're petting us. And it's very important, I feel.
It is incredibly important. What's it like to say goodbye to a production or to a character? And to a cast and crew, right? So you left the queen,
yeah,
and you said goodbye to your character of Tando. What does that feel like?
You cry a lot,
yeah.
I mean, I cried because the crew on the queen is just extraordinary group of people. I don't know how they managed to get just such great people. Maybe it's because of the way they treat them, so they become great people, but it was just really an amazing set and atmosphere. Obviously, we'd fight, but there was just Leon Duwutsi. If you fight with someone, you talk about it, you whoever was wrong apologizes, and we carry on as if nothing happened.
You apologize.
Yes, we were literally a family, no grudges, nothing. It was just love all around. So it was saying goodbye to that, to such a comfortable, loving environment that I was in, saying goodbye to my beautiful character, you know, that I had developed. That was difficult because I absolutely loved Tando. I loved how badass she was. Excuse my language. She was really one of a kind. I cried a lot.
Yeah.
It's very painful to leave a show.
It is.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
But of course, Tando gave you that that award you were talking about. That Royalty Sophie Award.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Best villain.
In many ways, setting you up for this character of Zorzi. In some ways,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Yes.
When we come back from catching up with Michael Pedro and just finding out what's happening in the world of sports, we carry on the conversation with Jessica Nkosi. Some messages coming through here, Jessica, for you. We'll read them after the break. A few heartbroken people as well, talking about some productions that you left. But we carry on the conversation with actress, presenter Jessica Nkosi, and you can call us on 011-883-0702. You can also drop a voice note on 072-702-1702. It's 8:30.
702.
Weekend Breakfast with Refilwe Mpakanyane.
Live, online,
smartphones,
DSTV channel 856,
92.7 and 106 FM.
Good morning, 702 Land. Jessica Nkosi, I just love how so calm and, you know, humble you always appear to be. For me, that is actually one of your strongest characters. I love you so much. I'm Komojo Talan, one of your biggest fans.
Oh, it's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
How do you feel when you get messages like that? It's powerful, the work that you do, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, the love people give, it's the best thing. You could be having a bad day. Uhlangane nomuntu who will just say, can I just give you a hug? And you're just like, actually, I need a hug. Thank you. people don't know how much uthando lwabo really makes a difference in our days every single day.
Yeah.
I mean, you go into social media, sometimes the first thing you'll see is such a horrible thing about yourself. And then sometimes you'll see just great, beautiful, loving messages.
Yeah.
And I prefer to focus on those.
No, you absolutely have to. Let me just quickly reintroduce you. My guest on my profile guest this morning is actress and presenter Jessica Nkosi, who's known for her roles in telenovelas such as Isibaya, Aye as well, most recently The Queen, but of course her project that we started off the show talking about is called Lavish, debuted earlier this month, and really, really is a fabulous production. And we've been talking the process of getting into character, identifying or agreeing to get onto this particular show. And, you know, Jessica, we're talking about, or alluded to the fact that we talk about your path so far to where you are. You initially signed up to study law at UKZN and you changed tack. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about the difficulty or the process of making that decision, it might have been made for you, because I read that. Did you fail a module and that's what spurred you to pivot? But then, of course, internet searches can also yield wrong results.
Yes, true.
I imagine to just change, to make a decision to change, right, midstream, is always one that takes a lot of hard thought.
Yes.
Was that like for you?
Yeah, it's really not a decision that you take lightly. I did my first year law, I did my second year, and in my second year you could just see that I was just there. I wasn't really interested in law anymore. Mm-hmm. And my results showed of the fact that I wasn't interested. The first year I did great, you know, I was still like in it. But what happened was there was a drama department in UKZN, Peter Maritzburg, and I'd spend my time in the theatre there watching theatre productions, you know, watching all the drama students and wishing that I would have the guts to do what they're doing, you know, to go, yeah, I'm going to study drama, you know, because most people, I mean, in the campus would make fun of drama students because they walk barefoot, their jeans are cut and painted, oh, they're so artsy-fartsy.
Yes.
And I'd go, but it takes guts to just go against what everyone else is doing and to do something different. And I'd look at them and go, ugh, you know what? I like what they're doing. I can do what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So in my second year, I spent even more time there and less time in the law library. And then I said to my mother, you know what? I want to change. And by the time I told her I want to change, I had already started the process of moving degrees to do a BA in drama and performing arts. So whether she said yes or no,
it was happening.
Listen. also on top of that. So I was just like, well, this is happening because I like this, okay? And I changed. It was, for me, it was an easy decision. I knew I could do this. I knew I loved it. I knew I would ace it. And I was like, this is what I'm doing. Mm. No one else would understand it. No one did. It was weird because everyone was like, okay, when you finish, then who's also been happy? And I was like, generations. They're like, do you think you're going to be a generation? I said, yes, I will.
Is that how, were you raised like that at home where your mom and your parents or your family just knew that Jessica is strong-willed and what she wants to achieve, she will do?
They just knew it's Ngani. And you know, in our culture, we're about Ngani.
So Ngani is
being stubborn.
It's not strong-willed in the more positive sense.
You're stubborn.
With a little, negative connotations.
Yes, it does. Right? It has a lot of negative connotations. But then it has also positive, because you're like, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to see it through.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Singaibugi as a negative a all the time, you know. It's not necessarily kandiktina. It's just like jimauni karone kara wuzwa. It's like I would tangizwa. This is what I love doing, and I'm gonna do it, and I love it. And can I just prove to you that I can? Just give me a chance.
Yeah.
Don't shut me down before you see whether I can or not. And I studied. You could see that I love what I do because my results were always great.
Yeah.
I performed in so many shows for like seniors, because seniors, they do their exams. So we auditioned as first years and second years. We auditioned for third year for their exams and what they're doing before they leave and graduate. I would get so many roles from that. You know, I was a very busy actress at school.
Mm-hmm.
Very busy. Like I had no time for anything else. No time for boys, clubbing. I was at rehearsals week in and week out. It was amazing. And I was like, Lord, can my life after studying be this busy? Can I just always be acting and
putting
busy?
It out there?
Did it just not be busy? And after.
Yeah.
And then, you know, God being God, everything worked out. I graduated. I auditioned for Aspire. I got that. And that's when my career started.
Yeah. That's really, really fantastic. And the level of confidence, but also the joy, you know, that I can see in your face, that you just remember it as well. It's really fantastic to see.
Yes.
And then you come to Johannesburg. And how does life change for you? Obviously, professionally, a whole lot of things change because you're working as a professional actor and actress. But how did things change for you sort of socially and emotionally? And I'll tell you why. I asked this. Life in KZN, or even life in Maritzburg, are very, very, very different to a Joburg-paced life.
Yeah.
Mm. How did you adjust?
I think naturally, I'm not a person, or I don't know how to say it in English, but I'm not a liker of things.
You don't like things?
Yeah. You can't fool me easily, you know? So yes, there were opportunities to be clubbing all the time and just live it up. Oh my gosh, drink it, you know. But
when you say, oh my gosh, imitating the girls, yes, the other girls,
and but there's nothing. I'm like, angifisi this, so I would rather sleep because I actually have an early call time in the morning.
So you've always known that all that glitters isn't gold.
Yes, like work for me was more important than anything.
Yeah,
you know, so I couldn't easily be fooled into, be pulled into a life of suddenly I don't recognize who I am because Joburg was so fast. There was no way Joburg was going to swallow me up. No way it was going to swallow me up. I was like, oh, not going to happen. I know why I'm here. I know what I'm here to do. I'm here to make my family proud. Yeah. I'm here to make money and let's go. I wasn't going to be fooled into anything. And to a point where angisazazi ukuthi ngubani manje, and I've lost who I am due to the fast pace of Joburg. I'm still who I am. I love my sleep. I value it so much.
Jessica Ngosi is not drinking the Kool-Aid. I like that a lot.
Ew.
So obviously, once you're here, you have to find a way to diversify as much as possible. Your interests, your income streams, whatever it might be,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Speaking of money and knowing why you're here, you are the brand ambassador. You are a brand ambassador for Volvo, the car brand,
yes.
And you've had some associations as well with other brands in that capacity.
Yeah.
When you think about saying yes to any kind of relationship with the brand, what are you talking? Because it depends. You'll tell us how it works. But many people always think, okay, so a brand comes along, says, Jessica, here's I don't know, 300K.
Will you
take pictures and tweet and post about us?
Yeah.
But how do these things tend to work for you? How do you approach associations with brands?
Again, I've been really blessed to work with brands that really speak to who I am. But also, I think mele ungasabi to say no.
Mm.
Because some things will come and you're like, don't joke. You know very well no one will believe I use this.
Yes.
You know, it's like, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. So you have to be able to sift through everything and say, okay, I can sell this because I, A, have either used this or actually I've tried this recently and I actually like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I was ambassador for Clinique for 2 years and it was a slam dunk for me because first of all, I have a journal where I write all my dreams and aspiration, you know, and I write my prayers. I'm a journaler, really.
Mm-hmm.
So Clinique was on my list at the top anyway, because I grew up with Clinique at home. My mom used Clinique makeup. She used the Clinique Aramex, the perfume. So Clinique in Denkule, really, it was here. I mean, I even had a whenever you buy something from Clinique, you get a free like toiletry bag.
Sure.
I had my makeup was in a Clinique, you know, little bag in my
you
in
didn't
my
have
handbag.
To think twice.
So I was like, before they even finished, I'm like, yes, you know. Fortunately, international Clinique as well got me in a huge campaign. Before my contract ended this year, in the year in South Africa, international were like, okay, can we extend it for another year? Come on board there as well. We did a beautiful campaign there with a few girls from America. It was beautiful. And I was like, yeah, this is authentic. This is real. This feels natural to me. I definitely can sell this because I use it anyway, even today, you know. So it's, I always make sure that it's something that speaks to me, that I know I've used or tried. And like, it's very difficult to sell something ungayithandi, you know. And ngiyavela futhi ungayithandi. The brand has to speak to also who I am. They have to have the same values as I do.
So motherhood is, when I mentioned that, you lit up earlier on and you said, yes, my favorite. Your baby has turned 4.
Yes.
Was it August?
August
this year.
Yes.
Talk to me about that journey. Because it's, you know, the people say the cheesiest things when you're pregnant and they say, you've never known love like the love of the mother feels for a child, and then you have that baby, and then you hold that baby, and you go, oh my gosh,
it's true.
The cheesy stereotypes and phrases are so right.
Yes,
yeah,
they are also true. Oh my gosh, you just go, oh my word, how am I obsessed with this human being? And first of all, I don't even know you, but already I'm so in love with you. You're the best thing that ever happened in my life. I mean, it's such a scary type of love, because the worry, oh my gosh, 24/7 I'm just thinking, is she okay if I'm not around her? Is she okay? Is she well? You're praying. Mm-hmm. You know that she's just covered. She's well. Like, Lord, make sure my daughter's okay at school. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just a constant. She's the first thing on my mind every single minute of every single day. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they grow now, we have full-on conversations with my daughter. She's 4. I mean, we talk with her. Ngiyamthuma. It's so nice now. Like, I can't wait so she can make me tea even.
Ah, you are that mom. Are you the mom that calls her from the other room to hand you the remote, which is sitting right there on the coffee table?
Absolutely. We must enjoy the privileges of motherhood. And that is one of them. Trust me, that is one of them. I'll sleep on the couch. I'm like, I don't have to get up. I have a daughter for that. I'm like, sissy, I'll just leave the remote. Or I'd be like, please go upstairs and finish my cell phone, because there's no way I'm walking up those steps. Ubu corner. You know, so it's nice. She knows exactly where to get it. Like, as soon as they grow, I'm like, you know what? I love this part. Sebe Badala, it's so glorious. I love being a mom. I knew I was going to be a mom. Like, I knew it. Mm-hmm. I love Wubo Mama. I love children. Yeah.
What are your hopes for her? What do you want for your daughter?
Oh, my baby. That's Unkulunkulu really leads her in the direction that he sees for her life, what she was created to be on earth for, that comes to fruition. Mm. I need that to be clear. I mean, ayikindim nandi then doing something that you are talented in, that you are passionate in, and that you know uNkulunkulu blessed me, and these are my talents, and you are working guleyo led. I mean, I always make the example of Venus and Serena, you know, tennis. You wouldn't think tennis would get you that far in life. You know, usually abantu don't take sports seriously, you know, and uNkulunkulu gave them that talent, gave them that passion.
And a father with a vision, by the way.
Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. to go, this is what my children are talented in, and I will nurture that. Yeah. So I'm always like, Lord, Naomi, lead me to be able to see that and nurture her in that, and not try and live out my life through her. Mm. Let me mold and shape her to what he sees fit and what he put her on earth to do, because she's definitely put here to do great things, life-changing things, to change the world, you know, and that's what she's going to do. And I just pray that I am that mother that will aid that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, and a very important work that motherhood is. But then, you know, as we said, you are at work at 4:30, you get caught up in the day-to-day. How do you juggle the practicalities of that, right? I'm here talking to you right now at work. Yeah. My husband is doing the Virgin Act of 947, right, Joburg. Ooh. So my little 7-month-old just spent the night at my sister's house.
Mama.
And you have to make difficult things like that, even though it's like common sense. The baby needs to go somewhere.
Yeah.
But it's tough. You know, just like you're looking at each other going, Do you need 6 hours, a full night's sleep to be able to do the 947?
Yeah.
Surely half an hour is enough.
I'm sure, you know?
I can rock up to work at 4 a.m. with like 2 hours of sleep. Surely. Yeah. You know what I mean? But the practicalities of that, because, life is real. It comes at you fast.
But I always say a happy parent is the best. You love what you're doing. Mm. You're happiest here. What's the point of you staying at home, being miserable, feeling like you have no life because you had a child, then you're resenting Kanyako? Mm-hmm. The best thing you can do for your child is for you to be happy, for you to live out your dreams, for you to see your life in Bella flourishing, and you come home and you can give your baby this beautiful life and afford them better things than you could.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you're living out in Piloyako in your dreams.
Yeah.
I always say, let's not be afraid. Your dreams don't end because you get a child. In actual fact, more blessings will come your way. Trust, you know, you will do even better career wise. You've got more to work for. You want to work even harder. Like, your drive is on.
You 10, better work 000. Harder. The school fees aren't going to pay them.
Yeah. You know, your drive is on 10,000. You have more ideas. You want to do more. Mm-hmm. And please, do more, uzokula, and they'll be like, wow, mom, you're amazing.
Yeah.
I want to be like you.
So that production company?
It's definitely going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's definitely going to happen. I mean, my partner and I speak about it all the time. And just recently, we were at the rap party of the Queen, and Uma was saying the same thing. What's, you know, she'd work in
production. Who is Uma?
Uma, Cody Ferguson.
Yes. Sorry. So one of your big mentors, man.
Love her. Oh my God. That woman, you know, I could just sit and listen to her all day.
Okay.
But she was just speaking in her speech, and she was saying how they would work in productions, and she worked on The Wild with her husband. And they would, and each production that they didn't have a production company. They'll speak about how, oh, we'd do this. And another one would like, oh, we'll do this differently. Yes. Oh, how about Tina Sinzenji? Tina Sinzenji. You know, for years they spoke about it. And then they were just like, you know what? We're going to do this.
It's time to do it.
Oh, my word. We're also doing the same thing because we talk about it a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, and for him, for me, I'm always on, I can't wait to hire actors and treat them like gold. I swear, that's like my number one thing. And he is on another, he's like more storytelling, you know, a gripping story. And we're always coming up with ideas. And I'm just like, I can't wait for that to happen too. So it's definitely going to happen. It's definitely in my future.
Yeah.
Absolutely 100%.
I think one essential thing, one important thing to realize about this industry is that so much of it is about timing,
yeah,
right?
True.
Timing plus opportunity. So if you put pressure on yourself to not have done something by now, you're going to be very, very stressed.
Well, yeah, I was wanting to gig. I just relax, you know? And I always say, what's been that? I will play. Please, I still want to act. I have a lot of roles that I still want to play.
Sure.
You know,
what are those roles? Dad.
You know, I want to play like a hobo, a lesbian, a man. I mean, God didn't give me EPSC for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I sound like a man for a reason. Let me play one.
Do you sound like a man?
Yes. I know. I literally grew up, you know how when you're young, they'll tease you for your voice. You know, I'd get there. As soon as I opened my mouth, they're like, oh, such a big voice. You sound like a man. I'm like, okay, manje genze, nigga. This is the voice God gave me. I can't conceal it. I can't try to sound like a girl. This is what I sound like. Deal with it. I mean, it's worse in the mornings.
Yes.
And at night, you will literally think you're talking to a man over the phone. But I've come to terms with it. I mean, I will say it before anyone else will try to tease me about it. And I've just grown thick skin about my voice since I was young. Because, you know, kids will tease you.
You'll bring it up first.
Ooh, they'll bring it up first.
It sounds like your spiritual practice or religion has sustained you and continues to sustain you a lot in life. Tell us about that.
It does.
Are you particularly religious or believe in God and don't attend a specific church?
I do have a church I attend. In Joburg, I attend many churches. I church hop a lot, you know. Because I'm trying to find a home.
You're trying to find
a
home?
But if I haven't found one in the many years I've been here, then I just hop around whichever one I feel like going to. That Sunday I do.
Ekaya, at home? Which church were you raised in?
At home, seeing Amalutel.
Yeah.
Kahle kahle. Yeah. That's where we are. And I mean, I was saved when I got to... Well, I was in Catholic school throughout... primary school. So Nkulunkulu is something that's always been a part of my life. Then I was saved when I got to varsity, and my faith has always been strong since.
That's really, really beautiful. It's really, really beautiful. You've mentioned your partner a couple of times now, not by name.
Never by name, honey. Oh, never.
The importance, or rather how you sustain or maintain a relationship when you are both in the limelight. And perhaps why never by name?
You know what? I value my relationship with my partner so much.
Mm-hmm.
I value it. I respect him. I respect our relationship. So much, Ukuthi, I'm not going to be, you know, out there about it. It's not that siyafihla, we're just private mm-hmm. about our relationship, and that just made less pressure on us to seem a certain way or whatever. And the way that we've handled our relationship has been great. I mean, we've been together since, what, 2017?
Mm-hmm.
And we're good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm happy. I'm a happy girl.
Yeah. Your relationships with each other's families?
Good, good. Yeah, I talk to his mom more than him. I mean, he was complaining the other day. Or even actually yesterday.
Whose mom actually is she? What are you doing right
yes,
now?
Yes. Yesterday I was on FaceTime with Umma, and then like an hour later, he's calling me on my phone. So I scream in the house, I'm like, I'm on the phone with mom. And it's like, it's been hours. I'm like, I know. I'm still talking to her, and he comes down, he's like, he lay guy and you could be my own man. I'm like, what? So we're chatting. What's your issue?
It's lovely. That's really
so,
lovely.
Yeah, I really am blessed to have a really good family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A final one here. A message coming through saying, we miss Isibaya. You played an amazing role as Qondisile.
Yeah.
And I was heartbroken when you left Ufezile. It's a beautiful thing to see that your characters and your work has
yes.
an intimate impact on people, you know,
yes.
and they remember the things that you did.
I mean, that's what you hope for.
Yeah.
Ukuthi when you get a role, it's impactful.
Yeah.
You know, kubuhlungu ukuthi you get a role and no one even, I mean,
see, no one registers.
Like, so it's really great to get roles that are meaty, that are good, that have, you know, substance
yeah.
so much that people always can relate to them. I really enjoy that. And well, I loved how stripped down Gondi was.
Yeah.
Everyone could relate to her.
Jessica Nkosi, yeah. it's been such a pleasure hanging out with you this morning. And just lovely to see you continuously growing on our screens, seeing you on magazine covers, and just tracking your growth and the fact that you're confident, you're rooted, you're grounded, but incredibly passionate and ambitious. It's really beautiful to see in action.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This was such a nice interview. You're so peaceful.
Thank
I don't know if
you
anyone
so
has
much.
Told you that.
Like,
I want to stay here the whole day and take a nap and listen to your voice.